Amen. Thank you for the music. Take your Bibles and join me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I want to speak to you today on this subject, a wasted provision. A wasted provision. I am grateful for God's perfect provision for our lives. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All means all. God shall supply all our need physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually, in every way we can imagine. God has promised to provide for our every need. It's an unbelievable offer. It's an unbelievable promise. And yet there's one even greater found in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew we'll examine today. My prayer is, as we do, we'll make sure it's not a wasted provision. I want to begin reading for you in verse 7 of chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. I'll read through verse 12, and I'd ask you to stand if you're able to do so to honor the public reading of God's precious Word. Matthew chapter 7, begin at verse 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is still preaching his famous sermon. He says, in verse 7, "Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Please be seated and join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for your perfect provision for our lives. I ask your forgiveness in my own life and the lives of these, your people, where we so often question or doubt your provision. Lord, help us to be a people of such great faith. We would never worry or fret or fear, but rather know that our God is with us and our God is able to meet every single need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, I ask that you preach to me now and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle. I present to you through silence, O God, that you might be heard and hide me, that you might be seen. And I do pray the forces of darkness that would cause us to live so far beneath your perfect provision might be bound from this place, bound from these people, where we are yours, purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wicked one touches us not. So have your way in all that's said and done, and for all that you accomplish, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things stand out to me about that passage of Scripture, and the first is a sensational promise, a sensational promise. Promises are interesting things. Mr. Webster says that a promise is a declaration of assurance to that which has been specified being imminent and certain. Read that again. A declaration of assurance to that which has been specified being imminent and certain. We promise that we'll do something. We promise we'll be somewhere at a certain time. We make promises to people because our word is no longer enough. And now, because we play so fast and loose with the truth, even promises are suspect. So now we have pinky promises. Will you make me a pinky promise? I shared with you recently in Leela's family. Do you promise only one promise? You promise. So it's because we have such a flippant relationship with truth and are so uncommitted to anything other than what pleases us as we have these difficulties in trying to believe people or take them at their word without having some kind of special contract or offer. We're culturally not committed to do that which is right. We're playing very, very funny games to keep all of our options open. I'll keep my word to you unless something better comes along. I'll keep my word unless I get a better idea. I'll keep my word unless I change my mind. It's a common mindset in our world today, and it ought not be among Christians. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, you've heard it said, Jesus speaking, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, you don't swear at all. But let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Our word should be our bond. We ought to do what we say when we say. And people ought to be able to count on us to be people, men and women of truth. But we're a long way from that, which is why now we have to promise everything. People know we aren't very reliable. Jesus doesn't have that problem. He is entirely dependable. He is faithful, and His word is sure, just like a promise. And so here, He declares a sensational promise when He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. That's a bold statement. That's an incredible offer to make. It's completely open-ended. Can it possibly be true? The answer is yes. Everything God says is true. It's impossible for Him to lie. He has no limits except that which are self-imposed. And He's imposed a limit of truthfulness on Himself. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So God's word is absolutely true. It will not change. It will come to pass. With that in mind, I thought some this week, Mickey, about wealthy people in this world and the things that they could do for others. We were just talking about that this morning in our prayer time. All the billionaires of the world, and how much good they could have in our world today if they were willing to. I checked this week, and the richest American is Mr. Jeff Bezos, who is the owner of Amazon. Right now, they say his net worth is $114 billion, with a B, Fathy, dollars. Now, that's after he had to pay his ex-wife $36 billion in a divorce settlement. Can you imagine? Talk about somebody divorcing good. Now, let's just be honest and say, this woman divorced good. $36 billion in a divorce settlement. He's still worth $114 billion. To give you some perspective about how much money that is, if he put that in a passbook savings account making 1% interest per year, it would pay him $22 million a week. That's a lot of money. That's almost as much as you got, Fathy. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, $22 million a week interest at 1% return on the investments. Unbelievable. Mr. Bezos could give 144,000 people $1 million. He could give every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet $15. But if he did those things, he'd be broke. That's all he could do. He has very real limits. So he can't say to the whole world, ask and you'll receive. He's very limited in his capacity. Not so God. God alone has the potential to say to an entire race of people, ask and you will receive. Now, please hear me when I say, He's not offering to give us all $1 million. He's not offering to do everything we want Him to do. He's assuming that we're going to ask in ways that are helpful to ourselves and to the cause of Christ. And He can do that because He alone is limitless. Now imagine if God could run out of something. God alone has creative power to produce something from nothing, Michael. And so if He happened to run out because we ask for so much, He could just make more something from nothing. So he can't possibly be exhausted in terms of his supply. So he can freely offer to everyone who has ever lived, who will ever live, ask and you will receive. Think about that. Well, if that's true, consider the potential for our lives. There is no reason for us to ever worry, no reason to ever fret, no reason to ever fear. God will meet our need. Now, understanding that there are times that we ask for things that are to our own detriment, and God says, no, not going to do that. And aren't you glad? I can think back on things in my own life that I prayed and asked God for, and God said, no, and I got mad, Dewey. But I look back now and I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't pay me any attention. You did what was right. God will never harm his people. Might be some pain in his people, but it's because he's growing us into a Christ-likeness. And so he always has our best interest at heart. He's looking out for us. But whenever we have needs, he says, simply ask and you will receive. Our need has been perfectly met in Jesus Christ. So that's a sensational promise indeed, but that's not all. There's also a significant provision. This is an offer made to God's people. This is an offer made to Christians, not a global offer. He's not offering to be a global sugar daddy. Many wrongly assume that about God. I know a great many people, pagan people, no interest in the things of God, and yet they get in trouble and they cry out to God. And I want to say sometimes, Brian, flippantly and coarsely, but I don't, you better call somebody that knows you. Because to think that you can just call on God when you're in time of need and then push him back into the genie bottle when you're through with him is ridiculous. You don't know very much about my God at all. I'll guarantee he's not that kind of a God. This is an offer for God's people. Notice the analogy he uses, verse 9. What man among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Notice there in verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Your children, your Father. Clearly a reference here to a family, to father and child relationship. So this is an offer made to the sons and daughters of the living God. Lost people can ask all they want to. God doesn't hear. John 9:31. Now we know God does not hear sinners. But if anyone's a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. The first prayer God ever hears us pray is the prayer of confession and repentance. Oh God, I acknowledge my sinfulness before you, a holy God, and I ask your forgiveness and cleansing and to take my life and use it for your glory. And that opens the channel of communication with the God of all creation. And from that point forward, he hears all of our prayer. But that's the first prayer he hears. And yes, there are stipulations. You see, he makes the offer to God's people, but he makes the offer for God's purpose. Jesus' mission on earth was to glorify his Father who's in heaven. And a great way to allow that to happen is to allow God to answer prayer. And that's what he does. But John 14:13, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. The reason God answers prayer is we are asking in the name of Jesus. And that doesn't mean just come down with your Christmas wish list and say at the bottom of the prayer list, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. In biblical times, our name bespoke our nature. And so he's saying, you pray as I would in my nature pray. If I were there with you facing that same situation, how would I pray? And if you pray that prayer and pray it believing, God will hear and God will answer that prayer. Well, preacher, what if I don't know God's will in a given situation? And I would tell you that probably is the single most common question I'm asked as a pastor, David. How can I know God's will for this situation? Or what am I supposed to pray when I don't know God's will for my life? Well, I would tell you, we better do some soul searching because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, implied no one. But we, being the church, the saints, Christians, God's people, we have the mind of Christ. We're new creatures, old is past, New has come. The Spirit of God lives within us. He interacts with us continually in our conscience. He speaks His perfect will to us continually so that we can know His will. He's not talking there about we have the brain of Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. It speaks His very essence, the essence of who He is. And it's part of who we are as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. So if that's true, and I possess the Spirit of God, and I'm part of the essence of God, if I will ask God, God will speak to my heart, and I will know God's will. How can you know that for certain, preacher? Because I know for certain God wants me to do His will. Do you believe God wants you to do His will? God wants all His people to do His will. Well, hey, how can we do God's will if we don't know what His will is? We can't. Not going to happen by dumb luck, I can tell you that. So God accepts His responsibility to make His will known to us. You say, well, preacher, I'm trying to make a decision and God just won't speak. Well, it's not time yet to make the decision. Just wait. And that's an answer that just makes me crazy. I don't like it. We were talking about it over Thanksgiving. I don't want patience. I don't need any more patience. I've got all the patience I'm ever going to need. And yet, God thinks not. And I think He's made a mistake. He's obviously confused me for Brent. Brent needs more patience, but I don't need more patience. I've got plenty of patience. And so I think most of the trials that I'm experiencing are supposed to be Brent's. We live close enough together. I think he's missed the address. I'm supposed to be just coasting through because I've got this thing down to a science, Greg. But God says, no, I want you to have more patience. I want you to learn to wait on me patiently, which means cheerfully enduring. Michael cheerfully endures. He's got perfect patience back there. I'm just teasing. His wife over there is just dying laughing now. Well, none of us has perfect patience. None of us. We all are impatient people. And so I say, God, I got to have an answer right now. If you don't answer, I'm going to do it myself. And he said, well, knock yourself out. I'm not speaking until your attitude's better. You'll know when you need to know. There's a pile of things I want to know, Jim. I don't need to know, but I want to know. And so I'll grumble and complain. Well, God, you won't answer my prayer. And he's saying, just wait. Just wait. I don't want to wait. He's saying, well, get over yourself. You're going to have to wait. If you're going to know my will, or you can go and do your own thing, and then I'll retrieve you and bring you back and try to sweep up all the broken glass, but you might as well just wait on the Lord. And if we will wait on the Lord, He'll make His will known to us continually. But we've got to ask, believing. We've got to seek Him openly. No preconceived notions. I think that gets me in lots of trouble, Dwayne. I pray, and I already know the answer. Because I say, God, here's what we're going to do. And He just laughs. And he says, you and that frog in your pocket? I'm not doing that. I got to wait on the Lord with an open mind, no preconceived notions, not demanding to do it my way, just saying, God, if you will speak, I will hear and I will heed. You speak, I'll hear, I will heed. And when I approach Him that way, I will know the will of God. That's an absolute truth. Because God wants me to obey Him, and I can't obey Him if I don't know His will. So when I come to Him and ask to know, and I'm willing to hear, and I'm willing to heed, I will know. But that also presupposes that I'm asking Him. I think there are a lot of cases that we're so presumptuous, we just assume we ought to know it without asking. And James is pretty clear. He says there in James chapter 4, verse 2, you lust and don't have, you murder and covet and can't obtain, you fight and you war, and yet you have not because you ask not. Or when you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. I don't want the saints of Grace Baptist Church to get to heaven and find out that God wanted to do much, much more in our lives, but we never asked. I want us to ask regularly for God's blessing in our lives. I want us to ask for God to do mighty things in our lives. Otherwise, God's perfect provision is wasted on us. But I want us to ask. listening to hear His voice, believing that we're going to hear His voice, determine that when we hear His voice, we will obey. But that also presupposes that I believe that I'm going to hear His voice to the degree that I don't have any other option but to obey Him. I mean, think about it. God's Word is so filled with instructions in James chapter 1, verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering or without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That man should not suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord, for he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Think about that. Ask, believing, nothing wavering. And I suspect I could ask for a show of hands, and I am not, so don't raise your hand. How many people have sat right here in this room in worship experiences that we've had here and sensed the presence of God leading in your life and determined in that moment, I'm going to follow Jesus, and before you got home, you began to question, well, is that really God's voice speaking to me? Am I really supposed to do that? I mean, what if I rushed ahead of God? What if that wasn't God at all? Well, see, now I'm double-minded. On the one hand, I said, yes, I've heard the voice of God, but I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure, but I don't want to take a chance. So we're back and forth, tossed like the waves of the sea. He says, ask, believing, nothing wavering, no doubting. Just ask, hear the voice of God, receive His perfect provision, and move ahead in victory. You say, well, that's easy to say, preacher. It's hard to live out. Oh, I know it's hard to live out. But it's possible because God's Word said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I've just got to be willing to trust Him enough to say that what He tells me is absolutely true. But think about that. I've just been challenged this week as I've thought about today. And I wonder how many of us today, don't raise your hand, how many of us today are asking God to do something that unless God does it, it's not going to happen. It's an impossibility with you and me. Maybe it has to do with family. Maybe it has to do with friends. Maybe it has to do with work. Maybe it has to do with health. Maybe it has to do with finances. I don't know. And we're asking God to do that which is otherwise impossible in our lives. And I don't know what percentage of the hands might go up, but I suspect it might not be more than about 15 or 20%. But then of that 15 or 20%, let me ask those folks, how many are sure? How many are certain it's coming to pass? And I bet it's only about 10% of that 10%. In other words, we're double-minded. We know God can do all things. And we ask Him to, we think we hear. And we're going to do our best to believe, but we're really not certain. And he says that person ought not think he'll receive anything from God. He is unstable, double-minded in all his ways, right? Think about that. Look at the potential in this room. If we all are born-again believers, I have no reason to think that's not the case. We all are born-again believers, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Look at the potential in this room. Because each one of us has the open-ended promise from God to ask and receive. That's powerful. Think about how we could change Evans, Georgia. How we could change Martinez, Georgia. How we could change Augusta, Georgia. How we could change the Central Savannah River area. If just the people in this room, I don't know, there might be 300 people here today. If we would simply get serious about asking God to do a mighty work in our lives, to make His will known to us perfectly because we are determined that we're going to take His word as truth and live as though it's already accomplished, releasing all the power of heaven in this community. And there are folks who can give testimony today. I'm not asking right now, but there are folks who give testimony today to the miracle-working power of God in your lives this year. We've seen people healed. We've seen relationships restored. We've seen God do mighty things in this church this year. Why in the world then wouldn't that prime the pump to cause us to ask God to do more mighty things in this year? There's still a month left. Consider what God could do in the remainder of 2019 to springboard us into 2020. Can you believe it's 2020? Such that truly He'd be glorified in His community in the coming new year. Ask and you will receive. For all who ask, receive. Do we really believe that's true? Well, I would tell you that faith must be exercised first in the belief that there is a God. And that God so recognized our need that He sent His Son to be our Savior. Because in our sinful state, we are separated from Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that was unacceptable. So He made a way of escape from our sinful condition through the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gladly, willingly came that very first Christmas through the virgin womb of Mary to bypass the curse of sin and then lived a sinless life for 33 years. And then nobody took His life from Him. In the Father's perfect time, He became all the sin of all humanity. And He laid His life down on the altar of sacrifice to a holy God that we might be forgiven. And then to prove that His offer was more than mere words, He conquered death and He arose from the grave and He's alive forevermore. And if we'll believe that, we can be saved. But that word believe, pistis or pistuo, depending on whether it's a noun or a verb, is a commitment to and entrusting ourselves to. And if we'll entrust ourselves to the saving work of Calvary in Jesus Christ, we become sons and daughters of the Most High God, and in that moment are given the unlimited potential of Matthew 7. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For all who ask, receive. All who ask, receive. Are we asking today? Praise God, I hope so. And if so, are you receiving? That's a moment-by-moment proposition. Begins in an instant. And then is practiced 24/7, 365 as we walk by faith, knowing that God will in God's way and in God's time accomplish His purpose in our life. How we choose, let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your precious promise. Forgive us where it's so often a wasted promise.